Welcome to Stephen Minister Training. We're on Module 6, Part 1. The topic is assertiveness, relating gently and firmly. So, as I just mentioned, there are two parts to this module. And today we're going to begin to talk about the overall topic, which is, again, concerning how we relate to other people in an assertive way, as opposed to passive or maybe aggressive behavior or passive-aggressive behavior. To begin with, a passage from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. Speaking the Truth in Love, of course, is the name of one of the Reverend Dr. Kenneth Hauck's books that we've been reading. And so therein lies the source for his title. We're going to refer back to that book this week and next, kind of go over some of the information that's in it that you are looking at now. Our devotion today is the power of speaking the truth in love. We're taking this information from a passage from Mark chapter 9. In that chapter, the Bible tells of a story about a man who wanted Jesus to heal his son. And he came to Jesus, who was up on a mountain with Peter, James, and John praying. He first asked Jesus' disciples to heal his son. That didn't work. When Jesus and the other three disciples came down from the mountain, they found the disciples arguing. The father was frustrated. After explaining what had happened, the man said to Jesus, "If you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." Jesus' response was, "If you can, everything is possible for one who believes." The father said in reply, "I do believe, help my unbelief." Both Jesus and the boy's father spoke truth in love. They were speaking in a very assertive manner. When Jesus pointed out the lack of faith in the father's request, the boy's father could have made excuses. Instead, he proclaimed his belief and asked for help to overcome his unbelief. Jesus also was assertive. Now, he could have overlooked the father's doubt, but he chose to help the man grow spiritually. So Jesus, with great compassion, invited the father to take a step further along in his faith. Okay, so how does this apply to Stephen Ministry? The parallels are pretty straightforward, I think. When caregivers and care receivers relate assertively, there is great power in that relationship. When we live assertively, we grow closer to Jesus, becoming much more like him. Let's open now, please, with the opening prayer. Lord Jesus, you show us how we can grow in our caring and relating. Thank you for your mercy and your love. Help us to model our lives after yours. Give us opportunities to respect, honor, and care for others so they realize how much you value them and so they turn to you for all they need. Thank you for hearing our prayers. Amen. Now we're going to talk about some definitions today, and of course the first definition will be along the lines of defining assertiveness. We have to understand what we're talking about before we can really get any further down that road as to how to be assertive. The fact is that each person will practice assertiveness differently. So each person participating in this training will do the same. They will practice assertiveness and being assertive differently. To be assertive, you really need to be aware of your own thoughts, attitudes, and feelings, as well as the thoughts, attitudes, and feelings of the people you're trying to relate to. Both are equally important. Assertiveness calls for you to be genuine, thoughtful, and full of care. So let's take a look at how this class will define assertiveness. And let's read the definition of assertiveness to start out. We are, by the way, on page 99 in your Stephen Minister training manual. So let's take a look at Focus Note 1, which is on page 99, and read the definition. Assertiveness is a positive, constructive way of relating in which a person clearly, directly, and confidently expresses his or her own needs, wants, feelings, and opinions, while also respecting the needs, wants, feelings, and opinions of others. Assertiveness is a positive, constructive way of relating. That's key. So we're trying to build people up when we're assertive rather than tear them down. And when you relate assertively, you're showing respect and care for both others and yourself. You see others as valuable people. They're loved by God just as we are and worthy of respect. Assertiveness is about expressing yourself clearly, directly, and confidently. It has to do with how you communicate with others. Again, showing respect for yourself and others. It can involve making a request of others and responding to requests that they make of you. Depending upon the situation, it's actually assertive to say yes or to say no. Another point, assertiveness is about expressing your own needs, wants, feelings, and opinions, and realizing they're relevant and worthy to be heard. Jesus said to love one another as we love ourselves. Assertiveness values both love of another and love of ourselves. One thing to note in this, though, because we're talking about Stephen Ministry caring relationships where the focus is on the care receiver rather than ourselves, this aspect of assertiveness will not be the primary one you use as a Stephen Minister. So it's really a one-way street in Stephen Ministry. You are all focused as a Stephen Minister on the care of your care receiver. You will encourage your care receiver to express needs, wants, feelings, and opinions openly, but you will listen more than share anything about yourself. Okay, let's move on a little bit. Assertiveness respects to the needs, wants, feelings, and opinions of others. We said that. When you relate assertively to a person, you love them and you value them as God does. When you respect other people's needs and wants and feelings and opinions, you treat them assertively without resorting to passive or aggressive approaches, which might employ pressure, threats, manipulation, hostility, all of those kinds of very negative feelings and conduct. Okay, so we're talking about what assertiveness is. Let's take a look at what it is not. Being assertive is not being passive. Passive behavior is an ineffective way of relating, and it is not assertiveness. Let's look at Focus Note 2. That's on page 100 in your book, in your workbook. The definition of passive behavior. Passive behavior is when a person holds back from expressing his or her needs, wants, feelings, and opinions. The person is reluctant to make decisions, hold any particular position, or take appropriate action, and instead often goes along with the wishes of others regardless of what he or she personally wants or what is in his or her best interests. Passive behavior is not an effective way of relating. It is not assertiveness. If you think about it, I think we probably all maybe know someone or maybe even have members of our family who practice passive behavior. I know I do. I have a sister. I have two, but one is very much passive and has been. And it's caused some problems in her life as a result. So it's really not a good way to relate. Have you seen a person or people who often apologize for things that are not their fault? Now, this would be an example of passive behavior. They apologize for things that are really not their fault, or someone who lets others run their life. Another negative passive behavior. Now, I'm showing a slide at this point that really goes over some possible ways a Stephen minister could behave passively in relating to care receivers, fellow Stephen ministers, or Stephen leaders. So those are three groups of people that you would typically be relating to. But how might someone who relates passively react with them? The point is that Stephen ministers should not behave passively towards these individuals. But let's think about a few ways that they might. Now, we're going to open this up in class to a discussion, but I'm just going to give you a few ideas to kind of help you also see these are some of the connections that should be made for this question. Now, for example, a passive behavior for Stephen minister might be overlooking or putting up with manipulative behaviors such as unnecessary late night phone calls by a care receiver. We haven't talked about this at great length. We will. We are accessible to our care receivers. However, if it becomes a situation where it really isn't necessary to make a late night phone call to your Stephen minister, and you don't assertively explain when it is permissible to do that and when it isn't, you're behaving passively. And that's not a good way to behave. There's some barrier issues that come in. Or maybe not speaking up and honestly telling a fellow Stephen minister something important. Or maybe enduring a difficult care receiver situation alone instead of getting help from the team to deal with it, meaning your fellow Stephen ministers as well as the Stephen leader and also our pastor. Or maybe just avoiding a difficult conversation with a care receiver. There are several ways that this might happen, but it's not a good thing. Stephen ministers should not behave passively towards these groups of people. So the good thing is if we learn to recognize passive behavior, we are much better equipped to avoid it. Another aspect of assertiveness that indicates what it is not. Assertiveness is not aggressive behavior. Aggressive behavior disrespects the needs, wants, and rights of others. We're on Focus Note 3, which is at the bottom of page 100 in your workbook, a definition of aggressive behavior. Aggressive behavior is when a person relates in a forceful, harsh, or controlling manner. The person puts his or her own needs, wants, feelings, and opinions above others, and may use demands, insults, sarcasm, manipulation, and other tactics to get their own way. Some simple examples, cutting in front of someone in line, insulting someone, making maybe unreasonable demands in an elevated tone of voice. So let's have a discussion in class. What are some ways a Stephen minister could behave aggressively towards their care receiver, Stephen minister, or Stephen leader? And again, hope to have some good input in the class. But even now, some things to think about when you're thinking about the answers to those questions. Here's a good example. If the Stephen minister were to threaten to withdraw support if the care receiver doesn't change, boy, that would be egregious. I mean, that would be a really serious matter, but that would definitely illustrate aggressive, inappropriate behavior. Or maybe revealing confidential information to damage the care receiver's reputation. Again, extremely serious. So we're going to talk about confidentiality, and it's extremely vital to this ministry. So that would be a very aggressive act. being sarcastic towards a Stephen leader or Stephen minister who offers a helpful suggestion. You know, again, it's certainly a very negative way, a very aggressive way to behave. And maybe one other one. We haven't talked about supervision yet, but we will. There is a supervision meeting once a month. And during supervision, it's possible if someone, a Stephen minister, were acting aggressively, they might just overcome another Stephen minister with questions that imply that that person isn't caring effectively, just kind of setting them up rather than supporting them and trying to help them. All these things are examples of aggressive behavior in ministry, in this ministry. So we teach assertiveness to help Stephen ministers avoid behaving aggressively. Again, if you can identify these behaviors, then you can avoid them. One last category, passive-aggressive behavior. This one might be a little bit not as obvious, but it's really crucial to understand it. This kind of behavior is, so I'm saying it, more subtle, underhanded. It's a way that a person might try to control a situation, but it's not above board. It's more subtle. So for example, they might talk negatively about someone to others and yet act like a good friend to that person when they're with them. So it's really insidious. It's not an acceptable way to behave in any situation, let alone as a Stephen minister. A passive-aggressive person might tell someone they will do something and then fail to follow through as a way to get back at them or maybe undercut the person's efforts. Very, very bad. But let's not miss the definition of passive-aggressive. I'm giving you some examples, but let's look at that definition so we know, you know, what we're working with. The definition of passive-aggressive behavior is on page 101 in your workbook, focus note 4. Passive-aggressive behavior is when a person uses covert, hidden, or indirect means of opposition to get his or her own way. While on the surface appearing compliment, the person uses stubbornness, pouting, excessive rigidity, veiled criticism, or other stealthy means to determine the decisions or actions of others. Not good. And even harder sometimes to really see just, you know, what this person is trying to do. But it's a very underhanded way to behave. So we come back to asking the question relevant to the ministry, what are some ways a Stephen minister might behave passive-aggressively with a care receiver, Stephen minister, or Stephen leader? There's discussion in the class on that as well. And I'll give you just maybe a couple of ideas in addition to something you may be thinking of. Let's say that we talked about that you know, people are visited once a week, the care receivers are. Let's say the Stephen minister decides to show up 15 minutes late to a caring visit to get back at the care receiver for being late the week before. It almost sounds kind of petty, but it's also a very nasty thing to do, and certainly not what we would expect from a trained Stephen minister. How about refusing to fill out the necessary forms for updating the Stephen ministry team on caring relationship? We're going to get into that. But there is a structure to these meetings that we have once a month in supervision, and there are some reports that are done, and there is a format that you follow. And it's very important that that format be followed for many reasons. So if a Stephen minister refuses to do that, it jeopardizes not only their ability to explain what's going on in the caring relationship and get support from the group, but also jeopardizes the time and the effectiveness of you know, everyone else in the room who may not have as much time to give their own reporting, and also won't be given the right information or helpful information as to what's going on in that relationship so they can be of support. There's a way that these forms are structured, so it does a really good job to help a Stephen minister stay on track and get right to the core of what some of the issues are. So if you have someone that's refusing to fill them out, that's an issue. And that can certainly be passive-aggressive behavior. one more. Let's say a Stephen minister outwardly agrees to implement a suggestion from another Stephen minister, let's say, but deliberately not following through because of upset feelings over being corrected. So let's say they're really kind of sensitive to the constructive criticism they may receive in supervision. So this is a way of getting back at that. Really not a good way to conduct themselves at all. Okay, so we have assertive, passive, and aggressive behavior and passive-aggressive behavior. Now we're going to look at assertive, because these are behaviors that have been around a long time. So we're going to look at assertive, passive, and aggressive behavior in Bible passages or Bible stories. Some of these stories, for example, I'll just give you one, and we're going to get into one in more detail, but when God told Moses to go back to Egypt as his representative, you remember that Moses responded to the effect that he couldn't because he wasn't good at public speaking. He couldn't speak for him. So that's a good passive response, and God didn't really like it. another would be when Joseph's brothers were consumed by jealousy. They were so angry over their father's favoritism of Joseph, and they aggressively attacked Joseph, and they sold him into slavery. Can't be more aggressive than that. But there's a lot of examples in Scripture of passive and aggressive behaviors, as well as assertive behavior. For example, when it comes to the latter, Ruth, remember what Ruth said to Naomi, her mother-in-law, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried." Taken from Ruth, chapter 1, verses 16 to 17a. But undoubtedly, the most perfect example of assertive behavior and someone who was consistently assertive, it was our own Jesus Christ. We remember some of the illustrations of this when he was 12 and stayed back to teach in the temple after his parents had started their journey home. And when he was confronted, he said he had to be about doing his father's business. That's a fact. Jesus also used, however, aggressive behaviors such as like driving the money changers out of the temple, or passive behavior when he submitted to the cross, a major passive behavior. He assertively chose to respond in those ways in order to carry out the mission that his father had given him. So even though we're not perfectly assertive, God has given us the gifts we need to work on relating assertively. While the Holy Spirit will help us to grow more like Jesus until we achieve full maturity in eternity. Okay, now we're going to look at some examples, biblical, particularly a biblical, major biblical example of different types of behavior modeled after. What the Stephen ministry did was they took the story of the prodigal son, the passage, the historical account of the prodigal son, and they updated it. I kind of wish they hadn't, because it was really good the way it originally was accounted for, but they did update it in the new version of Stephen Ministry that came out a few years ago. The only update, by the way, the Stephen Ministry has ever had since 1975. It's pretty good material. There's not a whole lot to improve on. But in this case, they updated it, and what we're going to do in class is we're going to act out a story that is, you know, obviously familiar to mostly all of us. And we assign people to read the different parts to this account. And it starts on page 101 in your book. I ask you to read it, go through it, because the first accounting uses an assertive ending, and then it goes through and shows the same accounting with a passive ending and then an aggressive ending. And we discuss, you know, some of the differences between the two. And in class, we talk about the older son and the aggressive behavior that he illustrates when we're talking about aggressive ending. And even some passive aggressive behavior on his part, where he stood at a distance watching when the younger son came home and everything that was going on, the celebrating, and he wouldn't participate, and it wouldn't come out. And he was very vocal about thinking that this was not the right thing to do, and he wasn't treated this way. So in any event, it's a good exercise. Unfortunately, it's hard to do it unless you're in the class. But if you read through it, you'll get the idea and some of the key points that are made. So let's see. Let's go through. I'm going to flip through my overview here and see what we can pick up again. I think what we should do is move on from these different accounts of that particular story, and you'll get the gist of what they're trying to illustrate with the different endings, the difference between the passive and the assertive and the aggressive endings. Let's move on and talk about simple assertions. By the way, maybe I should just double back a second, though, because I can give you some illustrations that you may or may not really need. But just really quickly, when we're talking about an assertive ending, we're talking about, for example, for the prodigal son, when the father rushed to embrace his son, that's assertive. He was overjoyed to see him, and he didn't hesitate to show his feelings. The father was really decisive in providing new clothes for his son, preparing for the celebration. And even when he spoke to the older son, it shows that he wasn't afraid to assert why he was doing what he was doing with that younger son. And also to make sure that the older son realized that he cared for him as well. But the father doesn't apologize for welcoming the younger son home. So this is all very good illustrating assertive behavior. Passive ending. The passive ending, when you read it, some examples of passive behavior. The younger man's father waits for his son to come into the house and doesn't show his true feelings. That's passive behavior. The father responds, his response to the son's request for forgiveness, I suppose, is noncommittal, and it kind of masks his true feelings. These would be passive behaviors that would be illustrated. And then finally, with the aggressive ending, some examples of that would have been most of the older son's lines are aggressive, so you could kind of go by that. He's hostile, he's demanding, he's insulting. He degrades his brother's value and when he says, you don't deserve to be his son, labeling him, name-calling. So all these things are pretty obvious to spot. They're pretty aggressive. Okay, we would normally take a break in class at this point. And when we return from the break, we would talk up next about simple assertions. Now, simple assertions are on, that exercise is on page 105 in your workbook. Many assertive interactions are very short and sweet. They cut right to the point. We're going to practice these simple assertions together as a class. That's what we did, as the group. And there are eight of them. You want to read through them. You can do this on your own and get some benefit as well. And we work together to try to see how to work through each of these simple situations and how to respond assertively. And I'm just looking to see, after each one in the class, each situation, we use the questions in Focus Note 9. Focus Note 9 is on page 107 in your book. Was the interaction assertive? If not, what made it not assertive? How could the interaction have been more assertive? So the idea is to get to assertive action, assertive behavior. And so we would help each other do that in working through each of these situations. So you might try to do that as much as you can on your own. Okay, let's see. We are up to the section that begins on page 107 in your book, When, Where, and How to Be Assertive. Okay. We're on page 107, as I said. Now, Stephen ministers will try to relate assertively at all times, but there are times when it's really important to do so. So we want to work on this. In the class, we were going to work on this together, but you're going to get the idea when you look at Focus Note 10, page 107. Examples of situations when Stephen ministers need to be assertive with their care receivers. For example, they give three, and then in the class we try to add to that number of illustrations. You know, setting up regular weekly in-person caring visits, very important assertion. Stephen ministers have to be assertive about that. Because, for example, a care receiver could ask you to come more often or less often, and that has to be worked through because that weekly visit plan is pretty tight, really needs to be kept with. There's very few exceptions. Encouraging a care receiver to share his or her feelings, very important to be assertive in those situations because that's really critical to helping a person to get out those feelings to aid in the healing that they will experience. Asking whether you can pray for the care receiver during a caring visit. Again, important to be assertive in that way. Want to be respectful at all times, but assertive also because prayer is so very important. So we brainstorm in the class about other ideas, for example. But like, I could give you a couple of additional ones. Examples of situations where Stephen ministers need to be assertive with their care receivers. Let's say the care receiver frequently cancels their visit. That's a problem, or indicates a problem. And the Stephen minister would have to assertively approach that with the care receiver to see how it can be resolved and what the cause is. Let's say the care receiver wants to talk over the phone or by text rather than in person. Another big problem. We are a face-to-face, sit down and talk to the person ministry. It doesn't mean there'll never be a phone call. There probably won't be texts because that's a last on the list. Phone calls are borderline, but they can be used certainly effectively when there's no way to be in person for some valid reason. And maybe one other thing, maybe the care receiver wants the caring visit to last well over the hour that's allotted. That can be a boundary issue. It can be a problem that has to be dealt with assertively by the Stephen minister. But there's more that can possibly illustrate the point as well. Okay. Now, three steps to relating more assertively. Page 108 in your book. The three steps that are illustrated are, let's see. And by the way, it's important to note, maybe before we even go down that road, that in Speaking Truth in Love, the book that you are reading now, there are some useful guidelines for determining when, where, and how to be more assertive. So we're going to look at those guidelines and apply them to Stephen minister caring relationships. You will be using them in a personal assertiveness assignment that you're going to receive as well. So, three steps for relating more assertively. I'm putting a slide up in the class at this point, and it's going to indicate, first, decide whether to be assertive. First step, decide what to say if you are going to be assertive and what to do. Okay. We look at Focus Note 12. Focus Note 12 is a hypothetical caring relationship. It starts on, it is on page 108, about two people, a Stephen minister and a care receiver, and the situation that the care receiver is in. Jake is the care receiver, and Steve is the Stephen minister. And what I ask you to do is read through that, and then look and see Steve's assertiveness challenge in Focus Note 13. If you read through the questions, decide whether to be assertive. That's the first step, remember? Steve's response to the five questions. Is this a real problem, and how do I know it is? So you go through and make some notes as to what you're hearing. Does Steve believe it's a real problem? It sounds like he does. But Is this the time and the place to respond assertively and so forth? So then you make some notes based upon the situation itself, the hypothetical situation. Decide what to say, Steve's main concern, what is it? What Steve decided to say. What did he actually say? Well, look to focus note 15 for that answer. What to say is in focus note 14. It's on page 110 in your book. So principles are for deciding what to say. And then in focus note 15, ways to invite Jake to talk about his feelings. That's helpful. And then decide what to do, which is the third step. Okay, I'm just catching up in my book. So, when we get to the point of deciding what to do, chapter 9 in Speaking Truth in Love explains various ways to keep nonverbal communication congruent with what you say. So it's helpful to take a look, and I'd ask you to maybe review a number of those nonverbal aspects. They're listed in focus note 16 on page 111. So if you take a quick look at that, that would be helpful. Okay. Now, questions 1 to 3. Let's see. Remember that first question is going to be decide whether to be assertive. And there's certain things in the write-up that give you a lot of clues. Like, for example, Steve noticed that Jake quickly changed the subject when he had shown hints of strong feelings. So Steve knew there were strong feelings. He had not really explored those with Jake. Okay. Yes, it's a real problem, needed to be explored by Steve assertively. After 3 months, Steve felt he knew his relationship with Jake was strong, so he decided to assertively ask about feelings in his next visit. And that, again, refers to focus note 15, ways to invite Jake to talk about his feelings, on page 110 in your book. And Steve knew he needed to help Jake talk about the feelings he felt difficult to express, and he believed that if he asked follow-ups questions when Jake started to discuss his feelings, that he had a pretty good chance of success in helping him and helping Jake open up on his deeper emotions, and it was worth the risk. One thing that comes up, could Steve stay calm through all this? That was one of the issues. It's important because Steve had anxiety, and he knew he did, so about the whole discussion. So the recommendation is that he bring that to supervision, to the supervision group that meets once a month to oversee what's going on in these relationships. And they encouraged him, in this case, to focus on the process of asking and not his own anxiety. So just ask the questions and just don't worry about being anxious about it. Because, in fact, the Stephen minister's role was really just to give Jake a chance to open up. We can't control the situation. It might be successful. It might not be. And even if it wasn't, it's okay. So then decide what to say. Chapter 8, Speaking Truth in Love, gives some principles for how to do that or what to say when you assert yourself. And focus note 14, principles for deciding what to say. We would look those over, and I ask you to look them over. Now, if you go back to focus note 13, I know there's a lot of jumping around. Hopefully this makes sense, but it does. Deciding what to say. Steve knew that he was going to have opportunities to invite Jake to talk about his feelings, and he had to recognize them and know what to say when they came up. So, in focus note 15, ways to invite Jake to talk about his feelings. List some ideas that Steve came up with. So you might want to read through that at this point. And then decide what to do. Okay, that's important. Steve had to have an action plan. Speaking Truth in Love, Chapter 9, explains various ways to keep your nonverbal communication congruent with what you say. You know, if you're saying one thing, but you're broadcasting with your, you know, the way you're behaving and your nonverbal communication, that you're thinking something else, it's very distracting and it doesn't help communication. But look at Focus Note 16, keeping your nonverbal communication assertive. That's helpful. I would take a look at that and then go back to Focus Note 13, because we're back where we started again with the three steps to Steve's assertiveness challenge. Whether to be assertive, what to say, and then what to do. Now, if we look at number three, what to do, deciding what to do, Steve decided to concentrate on the main things that gave him trouble: body language and eye contact. He tended to let his gaze wander while listening. And Steve did have a chance to be more assertive on the next visit when Jake mentioned Ruth's birthday was coming up. So Steve said, "You mentioned Ruth's birthday's coming up. How do you feel about it?" Jake talked about his apprehension about the day, and Steve leaned in, maintained eye contact, and reflected feelings, which is a perfect way to respond. And Jake seemed more at ease, and Steve knew he had that reinforcement that his efforts had paid off. Okay, a little bit of a, you know, bounce around, but you can see the point of what was trying to be accomplished here, and with just an exercise, a hypothetical situation. But deciding whether to be assertive, what to say, what to do, if you do decide assertive behavior is necessary in that instance. Okay, now, get more practical. Let's get a little bit more practical. Assertiveness in our own lives. We're on page 111. I'm sorry, no, we're not. We're on page 112 in your book. Assertiveness in our own lives. Now, what we're going to do is take the steps we just walked through and apply them to our own lives, so they're more, you know, practical and meaningful. Think of, this is what you need to do on your own, if you would, please. First, think of a situation in which you'd like to be more assertive, and think about why it's difficult to do it. Now that we understand what assertive behavior is and assertiveness is, it shouldn't be too difficult to determine that kind of example out of our own lives. Write about the situation briefly in Focus Note 17. Which is on page 112 in your book. So describe the situation in Focus Note 17. Take a couple minutes to do that. And then, using the three steps that Steve used, Focus Note 17 gives instructions. Decide whether to be assertive. Decide what to say. We're spilling over to 113, but it's right there. Decide what to say. And decide what to do. So it's kind of a template for you to use to work through the situation in your own life where you want to relate assertively and how to go through those three steps that we did with Steve and Jake, hypothetically. Now, I'd like to ask you to do that and take some time to do it now. In class, I ask the group to then, once they've done this illustration and worked up this example from their own lives, to partner up with, pair up with someone, and just share back and forth what that situation was, to the extent you wish to share it and are comfortable sharing. And both parties would have the chance to do that. Okay. Hopefully this was a helpful exercise for you. Again, it just illustrates, it all illustrates the understanding of what assertiveness is and how important it is in caring relationships and in our own lives. Looking ahead. Okay, I just realized I need to, well, this is not something, unfortunately, that you'll be able to do if you're auditing the class. It'll be a little difficult to do it. But I do want to share with you what the exercise is that we share with the class. I hand out a simple handout with the names of the people in the class on the handout. It's an affirmation exercise. And we ask that you do this now, and in the next class, we spend some time actually affirming each other. The affirmation exercise is pretty simple. You take each individual. We've met, you know, now for several weeks, so most of us have a pretty good feeling for, at least on the surface level, for some attributes or characteristics about each other. And so we ask you to take maybe one or two, perhaps not a lot, but one or two that are outstanding in your mind for each person, and just simply write down what they are in a positive way, so that you are affirming their characteristics, something that you've noticed that's a positive thing. And then we share them with each other on our next during our next class. So it's good practice. It's helpful. It's nice to give people support and encouragement. And when there's something positive, there's always something positive you can say about someone and how they behave, or maybe some of their characteristics. It's a good thing to be able to do that, because in ministry, you're going to want to encourage people all the time, or as much as you possibly can, and recognize that there are some really good attributes that God has given us, and that you want to, you know, reinforce those. So that was part of the assignment for the next class. Also, please read the rest of the book, Speaking Truth in Love, chapters 13 through 18. And please have that completed and have the book available for the next time that you listen to this audit, auditing of the class. It'll be Assertiveness Relating Gently and Firmly, Module 6, Part 2. I hope you found this helpful, and again, I always try to remember to say that if you have any questions that you'd like to discuss any aspect of this training as we go through it, please don't hesitate to contact me. I'd be very happy to try to help if I can. And now I just would like to close with a blessing. May our Lord Jesus Christ, who showed us how to live a fully free, fully assertive life, bless us with the courage, care, and compassion we need to relate assertively with others. Amen. God bless. We'll talk with you again, hopefully in about a week.